Today is the second Sunday after the Epiphany, and the readings are from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and the Gospel of John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Today's message is titled, Recognize Who is Calling You. Hear the word of the Lord from 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, Samuel. Samuel answered, Here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling out as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, Speak, for your servant is listening. Here ends our first lesson. The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, Chapter 1, beginning at the 43rd verse. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false. How do you know me? Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus said, You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You shall see greater things than that. He then added, I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness. Look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and grace and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. We begin with Samuel. Samuel, who would be the last judge of Israel. For the people of Israel would eventually clamor for a king like the nations around them, thusly rejecting not Samuel, but rejecting God. Samuel would eventually anoint two kings. The first would be Saul, who would reject the way of the Lord, and then the Lord would reject Saul as king, then sending Samuel to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, to anoint David to be king. But this is jumping ahead in Samuel's life. Let's step back and see how all this began. Samuel's mother was Hannah, who prayed and prayed and prayed to have a child. In deep anguish and bitterness of soul, Hannah wept as she prayed to the Lord. Eli, the judge and priest of Israel, saw her and thought she was drunk. Yes, that's what he thought, she was drunk. Hannah replied she was pouring out her soul to the Lord. Eli sent her away then with a blessing. Hannah vowed if the Lord gave her a son, she would give him to the Lord for all the days of his life. The Lord answered and gave a son whom she named Samuel. Samuel is Shemuel, a name made from combining Shema and El. Shema and El. Shema means to hear. El means God. Hannah named her son Samuel, meaning heard of God. For her heart and soul prayer was heard of God and answered. A few years passed and Hannah brings Samuel to Eli at the house of the Lord in Shiloh, presenting a sacrifice of a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. She brings the boy to Eli, saying, as is written 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, she said to him, "As surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Can you see yourself doing such the same as Hannah did with a son or daughter of your own? Yet Hannah considered this a great privilege and a blessing to give her son over to the service of the Lord for all his life. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to you this day. Perhaps your own son, your own daughter, is to be given over to the Lord, to serve the Lord all the days of his life or all the days of her life. Years ago, many considered it a great privilege to send their grown sons and grown daughters out onto the mission field, to cross the ocean to untamed and uncivilized lands to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ. Watching their child board a ship to cross the great waters with that last glimpse of their child being one of waving from the deck as the ship passes out of sight, most likely never to be seen or ever hugged again. Sending them off to most likely an untimely death. Still they considered this all joy to send one off into the service of the Lord. Can you do so? Could you do the same? Hannah did. Hannah gave her son into the hands of Eli to raise and train before the presence of the Lord. There was a problem, though. Eli had failed his own sons, Hophni and Phinehas. These two sons of Eli, they were priests of the Lord at Shiloh, and they were wicked. The sin of these two sons of Eli was very great before the Lord. It is written in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 17. "This sin of the young men was very great in the Lord's sight, for they were treating the Lord's offering with contempt." So we have the two sons of Eli serving the Lord, but they're serving with great wickedness. And we also now have Samuel ministering before the Lord, wearing a linen ephod. Each year, Hannah, his mother, would bring him a linen ephod to wear. And a couple years pass, we don't know how many, when the events of 1 Samuel chapter 3 unfold. And most are familiar with what happened. Eli goes to sleep. Samuel lies down to go to sleep before the Lord too. And we need to note there's a description here in verse 1, for it helps set the tone and context. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. Eli was a priest. Apparently, not much of a prophet. The Lord speaking or giving visions to prophets was very rare. So what takes place is emphasizing the role that Samuel would soon have and become in Israel. Samuel soon would be called the prophet in Israel. The Lord calls to Samuel by name. Samuel thinks it's Eli has called him and goes to Eli, "Go back to sleep, Samuel. I didn't call you." Note, Eli is not aware of what has taken place. This is Eli's character showing through, even though he's priest of Israel, functioning even as a judge of Israel at this time. And he doesn't realize what has taken place. Again, the Lord calls Samuel, and Samuel runs to Eli. "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down." Two times the Lord has called Samuel, with Samuel running to Eli. Two times Eli tells Samuel, "Go back and lie down to sleep." Eli's not aware of what's taken place. Then we have this little but very interesting verse tucked in here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 7. "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." It would seem that Eli has taught Samuel how to serve the Lord in the Lord's house, how to go about doing the things of serving in the Lord's house, ministering before the Lord, but not how to know the Lord as the Lord who speaks. And this bears out in the behavior of Eli's sons. Their serving before the Lord is in such a wicked manner, stealing the best portions of the sacrifices that should and ought to be given over to the Lord. For if these two boys had known the Lord, they most certainly would not have behaved with such contempt for the Lord's sacrifice. The two would have served with awe and reverence and trembling before the Lord. But they did not know the Lord, and as such behaved in a very wicked manner. And we find Samuel doesn't appear to know the Lord, does not know the possibility. There is this possibility the Lord will speak. Eli has not shown Samuel the way to recognize who is calling when the Lord is calling. Eli himself is slow on the uptake. Two times Eli tells Samuel, "Go back to sleep." A third time, the Lord calls Samuel, and Samuel runs to Eli. Finally, Eli discerns, it must be the Lord. This time, Eli gives Samuel the instruction that ought to have been given him after the first time Samuel came running to Eli. Eli said, it's written in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. A fourth time the Lord calls, "Samuel, Samuel." And this time this child is prepared. He has been shown how to recognize the Lord calling him. "Speak, for your servant is listening." 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. "The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.'" After Samuel was given instruction to recognize the Lord came and stood there. A manifest presence of God is there, calling to Samuel, and Samuel is ready to hear. Now, let's turn our attention to the events of the Gospel of John from this morning. Beginning with Jesus leaving for Galilee, finding Philip, Jesus says, "Follow me." That word "finding" in the Greek has a component of searching in the finding. Jesus was searching for followers. Andrew has already left following John the Baptist to follow Jesus. Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus. Now Jesus has sought out Philip, who is also from Bethsaida, as Andrew and Simon Peter are. Jesus said to Philip, "Follow me." Philip is invited to come along, to walk with Jesus and learn from Jesus. Next thing that happens is Philip goes searching for his friend Nathanael, finding him under a fig tree. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." What Philip says here is very important. We have found the one. In the Greek it is, we have found him. We have found him. Who is this him? Philip is very clear. Him who Moses wrote about in the law and also the prophets. This phrase is very important, and it shows us how to recognize him. It is the one Moses wrote about, the one prophets wrote about, him who Moses wrote about, him who the prophets wrote about. This is the one, Philip says to Nathanael. We found him. We found him. Philip is saying in a manner, and Nathanael understands what Philip is saying. Nathanael understands that Philip is saying they found the Messiah. We found him, the one Moses wrote about. We found him, the one the prophets wrote about. We found him. And Nathanael understands Philip is saying, we have found the Messiah. It's a huge, huge claim to hear. And as such, Nathanael responds to Philip saying, the Messiah is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Well, not exactly those words. This is what Nathanael said, John chapter 1, verse 46. Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Come and see, said Philip. The English word, anything good come from there, the English word good does not fully convey the meaning of the Greek that is there. From Strong's Greek concordance, the word is agathos. Agathos, it means inherently, intrinsically good. Furthermore, for the believer, agathos describes what it originates from God and is empowered by him in their life through faith. So it's the intrinsic, inherently good. Can anything inherently and intrinsically come good out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth, that small farming town that's set up high on a hill, a place where one commentary quips, Jesus of Nowhereville? Jesus of irrelevance? That's sort of what Nathanael is saying here. Out of Nazareth? Out of Nowhereville? Out of irrelevance? Another commentary teaches that the root word of the name of Nazareth in the Hebrew is the same word as for branch. Branch. And that ties it to the place of prophecy from Isaiah chapter 11. Nazareth, its root word is branch. Hear Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide what he sees, or decide by what he hears with his ears. And that's pointing to Nazareth, because it appears in the return from Babylonian captivity, a line of David settled in the hills and established the town of Nazareth. Hence, the name Nazareth, describing themselves as a branch. A branch of whom? A branch of Jesse. Jesse from the line of Judah. Remember, Jesus comes from the branch of Jesse, of the line of Judah. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Oh, yes. Because out of Nazareth will come the branch of Jesse, from the line of Judah, the house of David. Philip says, come and see. And Nathanael goes with Philip. What I want you to see is to put this now together in your mind, is Philip's description found in verse 45. And I've emphasized it. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Philip recognized in Jesus what Moses wrote about in the law and whom the prophets wrote about. What this means is Jesus is that one to follow. Means that when Jesus says, follow me, it is in your best interest to do so. For he who calls you is the Almighty God. God, the Lord of creation. God, who loves you more than mere human minds can really comprehend and human words could ever express. The Lord God, who is sovereign and who is also full of compassion, mercy, forgiveness, and grace. People who do not recognize who is calling them to a new life fail to see, they fail to comprehend this amazing love of God for them. Remember the rich young man whom Jesus loved and said, follow me. Remember the rich young man had so much he could not let go of it. Instead, he turned his back and walked away from Jesus. We don't hear of him again in the scripture. He may have had an entirely uncomfortable life. He was a very wealthy young man, very rich. But it appears it would be a life without Jesus. Consider the disciples. They could have remained as a fisherman or tax collector, remained as they were and never followed Jesus. They could have had a fulfilled life fishing or a very comfortable life as a wealthy tax collector, but they would have missed out on walking with the Lord. That walking with the Lord would one day lead to great suffering for them, and for most of them, even a horrific death as a martyr. John alone would live to old age. But he too suffered greatly. Saul, when he recognized the Lord calling him, became Paul, leaving behind the privileged life of a Pharisee to suffer in walking with the Lord as an apostle sent by the Lord. Paul, being stoned and left for dead. Paul, being shipwrecked and bitten by a poisonous snake. Paul, jailed and eventually executed. Yet Paul would write to the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 3, beginning of verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Samuel, when instructed, recognized who was calling him. The Lord was calling him. And Samuel became the prophet of God, became judge of Israel by answering the call of the Lord. From Matthew chapter 10, now the names of the apostles are the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, also known as James the Less, and Thaddeus, also known as Judas, son of James, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. For the disciples, their recognition came to full fruition with the resurrection. It was the empty tomb. and the moments with the risen Christ Jesus over those 40 days, they really took place all those years ago. And that risen Christ, that empty tomb, all those things are for you too. Recognize who is calling you. It is the Christ, the crucified and risen Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He who suffered and died to pay in full the redeeming price for your sins is the one calling you to walk with Him, to have Him in your life, so that in the life to come, you, yes, you will be with the Father forever. So this is not about prosperity. This is not about health or wealth, nor safety and comfort. It's about being with the One, being with Him who loves you beyond compare, with Him who has great compassion on your brokenness and for all your shame, the One who has lavished grace upon grace. Do you recognize Him? Do you recognize Him as He is calling you? Turn to Moses and the prophets and the gospel writers, the epistle writers too, all of Scripture. Turn to the Scripture. Learn to recognize the great compassion of the one true God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This one true God is calling you. The crucified and risen one bids you to follow. Follow Him home to the place He has prepared for you. How? Repent and believe. Walk with the Lord. Invite your family, invite your friends, invite your neighbors, invite strangers too to come, as Andrew did for Simon and Philip did for Nathanael. You do the same. Then you will know peace, hope, and joy. For you will know what it means to be truly loved. Oh, so loved. As you walk with Him who loves you. Who gave His life for you. Who was crucified for you. And is risen. Now is the time. Recognize Him who is calling you. It is the Lord. And you, answer as Samuel did. Speak, for your servant is listening. Amen and amen.